Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them, let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله There are many virtues and blessings of reciting Salat upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم And it has been stated in a narration that a person who recites durood, who sends salutations 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write between his two eyes that that individual is free from hypocrisy and is free from the fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather that individual, will raise that individual with the shuhada, with the martyrs. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Such an amazing virtue, such a great reward for a person who spends a little time in sending durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we heard last time that a person recites the durood 50 times, the Prophet will shake hands with that individual on the Day of Judgment. And today we're hearing an individual who sends the durood 100 times in a day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write between his two eyes that he is free from the fire of hell and hypocrisy, and he will be raised with martyrs. To perform good deeds such as praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that dust from our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies our souls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freshens our life, and this is the reason there are such great bounties for sending salutations. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to the brand new program, The Lives of the Prophets alayhim as-salam, in which we talk about the different lives of the Prophets, how they lived, what specific and important incidents took place in their lives, what we can learn from them, how certain incidents changed the face of history and affect us today as well. And we have talked about the story of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, from the creation of Adam to Shaitan rejecting to prostrate, to Sayyidina Adam being in paradise and then coming on this earth, and all the mu'amilat, all the incidents that took place with it. And we finished last time on the story of Habil and Qabil, in which one brother, Qabil, murdered his brother Habil due to the desires and due to the lustful feelings over a woman. And the next prophet which we're going to talk about is directly linked to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the reason for this is, after Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the next prophet to come was Prophet Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam. This prophet has not specifically been mentioned in the glorious Quran. However, we do find a lot of historical event and historical data from the previous scriptures about this prophet. And we also find the blessed narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about this prophet. And it has been stated that Prophet Sheith alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah ta'ala revealed 50 scriptures to, meaning 50 holy books were revealed to this specific prophet. This just goes to show the status of this man. This goes to show the status of this prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 50 scriptures to this person. Similarly, in Arabic, the name of this prophet is Sheith, and in Hebrew, it is Sheith. And the reason he is called Sheith, the Arabic language is very beautiful. And one of the beauties of the Arabic language is that it is very in-depth, meaning one word could have a very extensive meaning. One word could have a very big meaning, could be a very specific meaning. And in Arabic, the word Sheith means a gift from Almighty Allah. Yes. The name which is given to this Prophet Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam means a gift from Almighty Allah. Now, why was he given this name? The reason he was given this name is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam to Sayyidatuna Hawa and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam after the murder of their child Habil. When their child Habil was murdered by the hands of Qabil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompensated their child by giving him another child, which was called Sheith alayhi salam. And it has been stated that Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam used to resemble Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam a lot, meaning the physical resemblance of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, his complexion, the way his structure was, his body was, etc. Sayyidina Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam used to very closely resemble that of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And with Sayyidatina Hawa radiallahu anha, the way she used to give birth was that she used to give birth to pairs of children. Meaning from one pregnancy there would be a boy and a girl, and from the second pregnancy there would be a boy and a girl. And the brother, the boy from the first pregnancy would marry the girl from the second pregnancy, and vice versa. But when it came to Prophet Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam, he only came alone. Meaning that pregnancy Sayyidatina Hawa had at that time, there was only one child in that pregnancy, and that was Shisa alayhi salam. And Imam Qastalani rahmatullah alayhi writes in the narration to this, he says the reason Sayyidina Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam came alone was to show his provenance, was to show his gratitude, was to show his magnitude, was to show how important this Prophet was in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if two were born, then maybe the attention would have been divided on both of them. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only granted this single child in that pregnancy to Sayyidatuna Hawa radiallahu anha goes to show the excellence of this Prophet. Imam Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi writes that at the time of passing of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam called his son Sheath and made a will to him. And what was that will? That will was that he may only come into contact with pure women. That when he has children, he only has children through pure women. And those children only have children through pure women. And like this, they should have a pure nasab, they should have a pure lineage, they should have a pure generation and progeny. And the reason for this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one of the great great grandchildren of Sayyidina Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam knew about this. So he made a will to Shisa alayhi salam that make sure the progeny stays in pure lineage. And this carried on happening until it came to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, who had a son which was Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and who had a son which was the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning the forefathers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were all upon Tawheed, they were all the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of them were mushriks, none of them were polytheists, none of them were bad people, none of them turned from the religion of their forefathers. So this goes to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You get people nowadays saying that na'uzu billah, the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam weren't Muslim, astaghfirullah. But rather the parents were Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in according to a narration, brought them back to life and made them accept Islam, made them recite the kalima. And the reason for this wasn't to make them Muslim. The reason for this was so they be blessed to be part of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the status of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That me and you, we did not do anything specific to be part of this ummah. Me and you did not do anything special. We did not ask Allah ta'ala for this favor. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us this favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us from this ummah. It has been stated that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he seen that there was a very big nation, very strong nation, very powerful nation. And he says to Allah, Ya Allah, grant me this nation. Grant me this nation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Musa, I cannot grant you this nation. This nation is for Ahmed. Remember the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens and the skies is Ahmed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to him as Ahmed and says that this ummah is for Ahmed. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam says that, Ya Allah, if you cannot grant me this ummah, then make me a part of this ummah. Subhanallah, even the prophets, they would have this desire to be part of this great ummah, the great nation, this great ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me and you this immense favor. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Wahab radiallahu anhu states that amongst the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, meaning his direct descendants, his children, Sayyidina Shith alayhi salatu wasalam was the most honorable and the most superior. And he resembled Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam the most in terms of his appearance. He was also the most beloved to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And he was the nominated successor and the heir of the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Meaning the Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, from all his children, his most beloved child was Prophet Shisa alayhi salam. And one reason that he's also beloved to him is because he's a prophet as well. According to a narration, when Prophet Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam turned 105, his son Anush was born. And after the birth of Anush, Prophet Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam lived for 807 more years. And during this period, he had more sons and daughters. So just to give you an idea of how long Prophet Shifa alayhi salatu wasalam lived upon this earth, it is stated that he had a child at the age of 105. And when that child was born, Prophet Shifa alayhi salatu wasalam lived for another 807 years. This is the status and this is the lifespan of these prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam clarifies this, and he mentions in his narrations that in the previous nations, people used to have very long ages. People used to live for very long, 500 years, 600 years, 700 years, 1000 years, 1500 years. This was the lifespan of the people of the pious predecessors, the people of the past. This is how long they lived. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that one speciality of my ummah, one khasa, one special thing about my ummah is that they may not have very long lives. They may not live very long, but the ibadat, the worship, the act of obedience they do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them immense reward for it. Meaning a person who lived in the past, excluding the Anbiya, maybe he lived for 500 years and he performed a lot of deeds for 500 years. Maybe the act of worship, one act of worship in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greater than 500 years of worship. And this is known from the night of Qadr, that the night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Is better than 1,000 months, that one night is better than 1,000 months. This is the speciality of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they have such nights in their ummah, they have such nights in their lives, they have such nights in their months, that if you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that one night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you, it is better for you than worshiping Allah for 1,000 months. This is the speciality and this is the karam and the rahmah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. According to one opinion, Sayyidina Shif عليه الصلاة والسلام lived in Mecca and was honored with continuously performing Hajj and Umrah. And it was also in the blessed lands of Mecca al-Mukarramah that he passed away as well. Sayyidina Shif عليه الصلاة والسلام had a very long life. And in his life, he performed a lot of Hajj and Umrah. And this is also a lesson for our brothers and sisters who upon whom Hajj is for. They have the capability of perform Hajj. They are financially strong enough, they are financially stable enough to go perform Hajj. This is a farida, this is fard upon the Muslims. And not every Muslim, those Muslims who fall under the category of those who are able to perform Hajj, if they do not perform Hajj. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a person who does not perform Hajj, even when he has the means to do so, then it does not matter whether he dies upon another religion. This is a very strong wa'id. This is a very harsh and strong punishment for those people who, whilst having the capability of performing Hajj, they do not do so. Remember, Hajj is from the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an obligatory act. All the Prophets alayhi wasalam performed this ritual as well, this pilgrimage as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam also performed this. It is stated that when a person, he performs Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes his minor sins to the extent Allah removes his major sins as well. This is the benefit of performing Hajj. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person, he performs Hajj and after the completion of Hajj, he is pure from sins like the day he was born from his mother. How many sins does a newborn baby have? How many wrongdoings does a newborn baby have? He has absolutely none in his account. Why? Because until the age of puberty, any bad action a child does, Allah Ta'ala forgives it. Then what is the status? What is the state of a newborn child that he does not even do anything wrong? And a person who performs Hajj, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala removes his sins and makes him into a position like that of a small newborn child where he has no sins on his account. My dear viewers of Madin Channel, we are living our lives, yet there are certain things that we miss out on. And let me tell you that once we die, once we go into our grave, once the angels question us, or once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us about our actions upon this earth, we will have nothing except shame. Allah ta'ala has granted you wealth. Allah ta'ala has granted you time. Allah ta'ala has granted you means. Allah ta'ala has granted you the facilities to perform Hajj. Yet you do not do so. You are directly, not even indirectly, you are directly disobeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that should scare us. This is something that should be awakening call for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much, yet we do not spend in his path, yet we do not perform his pilgrimage. And the beauty of Islam is that if you do an action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do an action following the commandments of Allah and his Prophet, that action ultimately benefits you. Yes, Allah Ta'ala is not in need of your worship. The scholars have written it's a matter of aqeedah that your worship does not elevate the rank of Allah. Or you not worshipping Allah Ta'ala does not decrease His level. You worshipping Allah Ta'ala is in fact for your own favor. You worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is actually for your betterment. You worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is actually for your own good. So we should never take the matters of Sharia, we should never take the matters of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and His commandments lightly. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of his passing away, meaning the passing of Sheikh alayhi salatu wa salam, he made a will to his son Anush, just like Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam made a will to Sayyidina Sheikh alayhi salatu wa salam. At the time of passing, Sheikh alayhi salatu wa salam also made a will to his son Anush. And so, after he passed away, Anush took care of matters. Thereafter, his duty was passed on to Anush's son Qinan, and then to Qinan's son Mihlail. And this also goes to show the importance of the obedience of parents, that even if the father lived up till the age of 900 years, and the child would have been very old at this time, Anush would have been around 800 years at this time, yet when his father told him to do something, he did not consider himself to be big. He did not consider himself to be too old to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not consider himself to be too big to follow and respect his parents. What happens today is a child, he reaches a certain age, he starts to go college, he starts to go university, he starts to earn a bit of money, and he starts to think that he's smarter than his dad. He starts to think that he doesn't need his dad anymore. He starts to think that he can do everything on himself. Let me tell you that the little success you have, the little knowledge you have, the little money that you've earned is through the blessings of your parents. It's through the barakah of your parents. It's through the prayers of your parents. And those hardships which are going to come into your life when you disobey your parents is something that you have brought upon yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it clear that there are certain sins for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved the punishment for in the hereafter. That there are certain sins of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes people in this world, and one of those is disobedience to parents. If a person who disobeys his parents in this world, a person who disobeys his parents in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only has a severe punishment for him in the hereafter, but also ridicules and humiliates that individual in this world as well. So we need to always have the utmost adab and respect for our parents. Remember, ba adab ba naseeb, be adab be naseeb, that anything you are going to get in this life, anything you're going to get in this world is through adab and respect. The Prophet said that a person who does not respect his elders and have mercy on his young ones is not from us. And if a person is not from us, what status does he hold in Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it very clear that one of the foundational bases of the religion of Islam, one of the foundational levels and things of Islam is adab, is respect. Whether that's adab for the books, whether that's adab for the ulama, whether that's adab for the elders, whether that's adab for the teachers, whether that's adab for the shuyukh, whether that's adab for the holy places, whether that's adab for the graves of the pious predecessors, whether that's adab for holy relics. When a person has adab in his heart, when a person has respect in his heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him as the successful in this world. And this was a very short biography of Prophet Sheikh alayhi salam. Like we said, he is not specifically mentioned in the Quran, but we do have information about his historical events through previous scriptures and the hadith. And inshallah, in the next episode, we will come back with another prophet. And inshallah, we will talk about the interesting facts that happened in his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who respect the prophet and who learn about the prophet. Ameen bijahin nabi al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them, let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the